No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, and I am flying solo. Because, you know, I feel empowered. After last week's adventure in Tampa with Captain Ed and Captain Keith, I said, you know what? I may not have them with me right now, but I can fly because I literally had control of the flight controls there when we flew back and forth to Tampa for the AOPA fly-in. And I still retained more of the skills than I anticipated. Now, to assist in the left seat or the right seat, I don't know which seat you're in, Captain Dennis is with me to help out. Hey, Dennis, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon.
All right, so are you impressed? Are you thinking like, wow, you did this? And
when you sent me the picture and the video clip, I'm like, holy, finally. We've been trying to get you out to the airport for how long? And you did one better. We thought you were going to be in the back seat just as dead weight, but they actually put you up front.
Yeah, I was planning to go as parasitic drag, as Ed often likes to call me. However, right before we got in the plane, they said, you know, you're flying. I'm like, what? It's a Piper Archer? What was it again? Let me think.
I think it was an Archer.
Yeah.
But remember, we had that conversation before you were heading off. So did you have any problems transitioning to having the wing on the bottom instead of the top?
You know, I didn't. And I'm glad they didn't tell me I was going to fly before we got in the plane, because that probably would have freaked me out. You know, because honestly, I haven't been really flying an airplane in like 3 years, regardless. And when I knew we were flying the Piper plane, I'm like, well, I'm not flying. I've never flown a plane like this before. I've only done a Cessna 172. So, you know, even though Keith is, you know, saying, oh, you're flying, I'm like, yeah, they're joking, yanking my chain as usual. But sure enough, I get in the plane like, no, you're getting in the pilot chair there. And I'm like,
and what? Amazingly, it flew just like the Cessna, didn't it? Probably really close to the same speeds, too.
It did. I was kind of surprised. And, you know, I took off and things were pretty, you know, I mean, they came back pretty quick. You know, when I was surprised they let me taxi out to the runway. And I'm like, oh, okay, I remember how to do this. Now, they handled all the radio stuff, which is obviously very confusing. And I would not have been doing very well at that, I have a feeling. But they handled
that. But you're a radio guy, wouldn't you?
You would think.
Naturally?
I mean, I was able to stay up with what was going on for the most part. But everything, you know, had been so long, I was like, okay, let's see, I taxi out. I got to go over here. And, you know, I the plane taxied actually better than the Cessna that I used to fly. And I was like, wow, the controls on this thing work pretty good. And so we taxied out to the runway and stopped, did our run-ups, the whole thing. And then he said, okay, you're going to taxi out and take off. And at this point, I'm still thinking he's joking. And I'm like, really? You're going to have me take off? He goes, yeah, you can do it. I'm like, okay. And so sure enough, we get out there and we power up and take off. And, you know, they tell me, they're watching the speed, like, okay, rotate now, because I wasn't sure what the rotating speed was. But it was pretty much similar to the Cessna 172. And we took off and went off to the left there and at 800 feet and started cruising over to Tampa. Now, to maintain height and keeping the plane level, you know, I was kind of focused on the controls, really trying to keep things set. And I was, you know, I was rusty for sure. And it was a little bumpy at first. But I'd say after about 5-10 minutes, I was like, all right, I got it. And we're flying right along. And I'm like, I'm able to maintain altitude and all this stuff and keep it level, which is really the main things you got to do, you know. And
well, it's not bad after a 3-year hiatus at all. It's just like riding a bike. It just comes back to you, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, you know, that's the truth. And that's what Ed said afterwards, too. He was kind of surprised how much I had retained, and as well as I.
So did you participate in the Rusty Pilot seminars then at the AOPA event?
I did not. I attended the Just Plane Radio, keep talking about it every week, seminars. And, you know, I think some of this constant badgering and stuff that I you know, take on week in and week out as we do this goofy little radio show I think that kind of keeps me, you know, active. You know what I'm saying? Somewhat in the environment, and that should go for anyone listening to this show. You learn from my mistakes. I'm willing to be that sacrificial lamb in that regard. And
well, you do a great job of that, because we certainly do a lot of flogging at your expense.
This is true. I mean, if it was physical abuse, I definitely would have permanent welts. But just staying active, you know, mind-wise, just talking about it every week, I think it kind of keeps you in the game. You know what I'm saying? Just to a certain extent. I mean, we talk about all kinds of things, what's going on in the industry and stuff like this. But when you get back into the actual element of flying, there's some of that stuff that kind of rubs off. So this is kind of like a weekly exercise for your brain from an aviator standpoint. Is that fair assessment?
Yeah, it's a good assessment. I mean, the more that you learn and think about and talk about, and it just keeps you up on, you know, current events or thinking about changes. You know, how many times have we talked about, you know, ADS-B implementations and what's that mean, or talking right. about instrument training and approaches, and mm-hmm. It keeps you out of that. You get in the rut where you're always talking or, you know, doing the same things. You get to see a little bit wider field of view.
So true. And I would tell you, in this Piper Archer, it had a upgraded, screen compared to what I had in the Cessna I was flying in 3 years ago. So it took me a couple minutes to figure out how to toggle between this thing and that thing. And Ed would say, okay, press that button, toggle this, press that. And once I got the hang of it, and I was like, gosh, this is way easier. And I'm like, you know, and this isn't game. Like state-of-the-art stuff. This was just a basic, you know, I think it was maybe like a Garmin 300 or 500 or something. You know, one of the basic ones. But it still had way more stuff in it than I was used to dealing with. And you just, you know, plug in the coordinate and you're good to go. And rotate the bezel thing. And, you know, I was just like, gosh, this is way easier. I could do this. And then so when we land in Tampa, that's what really surprised me, because, you know, taking off and flying is not that hard to do for anyone. It's the landing that is the tricky part in flying an airplane. And if you can't get all three, you're pretty much screwed. You know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure you got all three down before you really get this flying thing down. And that took me a while when I started my flight training. So when we got into Tampa, I was like, surely, you know, Keith is going to, he's going to take the controls. He's going to fly. And he goes, all right, turn to final. And I'm like, okay, you're going to take the controls. No, you're going to land it. I'm like, really? I was like, okay. He goes, I'll ride the controls, but don't.
Well, you got to remember, he's a flight instructor. He's used to students trying to kill him all the time.
So. Exactly. And I am definitely was one of those at the time, thinking that I was going to come close to it. But we came in, I'm watching, you know, and I'm feeling the airplane. I'm like, okay, we're glad. I remember this scenery. And I remember I got to pull the nose up, you know, to keep it ready for the flare there at the end, and keep looking in the distance at the far end of the runway and all that stuff. And it all came back, and we landed. And I'm really thinking, like, yeah, he did all the control. He took the controls and did this.
I bet he never touched them.
Well, and that's exactly what he said afterwards. And I was like, what? I did that? No, get out.
And once you learn the basics of aircraft control, you get that touch and that feel for that. You don't have to hold the yoke with a death grip.
Right.
You get that feel, and you can, you know, the airplanes all behave the same. I mean, I jumped from a Cessna 177 Cardinal RG into a Mooney, having never, you know, having not flown a Mooney in 10 years. And it just felt natural at home. You feel the airplane, you feel where they're at, and it's a skill that you acquire, and you won't get your license until you can demonstrate that type of ability. And it just comes through training and practice.
Well, I would agree. And, you know, my analogy of learning to ride a bike kind of stood, you know, that kind of was the great perfect example for me, because, you know, when you
jump
get
from that little Schwinn Stingray right to a 10 speed, right?
Well, not just that, just learn, you know, getting the balance of a bike when you're riding mm-hmm. it as a kid. You know, the same thing when I finally learned to land the airplane, it was kind of like, okay, there it is. Now I feel it and I can repeat it and now I'm good to go. And it was like a light went off and you finally.
And that skill transfers to all airplanes because they all behave the same.
Well, there you go. Yep. And you know, that's exactly what kind of happened. And I was like, I was shocked. I really did not expect that. I have very little faith in my skill.
Well, so now so I'm surprised. What do we need to do to get you doing this on a regular basis?
Is that enough for me to fly your plane? Would you let me fly your plane now?
I would let you fly my plane if you would have come out to the airport.
If I'd come out to your airport in Minnesota.
Well, remember when I came down to Fort Lauderdale, but you were too busy with the boat and I couldn't get you to come out. So,
well, I figured I better go with Ed and Keith before I, you know, risk your airplane.
Yeah.
That was probably just good planning and a little common sense, which I use very sparingly. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't want to put you through that, that potential tension.
We would have thrown CJ in the back, it'd have been fine. But
okay, and used him as parasitic drag. That would have been a possibility. But you know, it was a great experience. We had a great time out there in Tampa with all the AOPA folks and everyone who attended the fly-in. It was a huge success. We might actually check in with Tom Haynes a little bit later on and get a follow-up on how the event went, as well as the latest aviation news and information, all coming up next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Flying is the worst one because people come back from flights and they tell you their story. And it's like a horror story. They act like their flight was like a cattle car in the 40s in Germany. That's how bad they make it sound.
Right.
They're like, it was the worst day of my life. First of all, we didn't board for 20 minutes. Right. And then we get on the plane and they made us sit there on the runway for 40 minutes. Oh, really? What happened next? Did you fly through the air incredibly like a bird? Did you partake in the miracle of human flight, you non-contributing zero? But you got to fly. You're flying. It's amazing.
Oh, down there, the morning made of sailors in the air, keeping the midnight stars held high.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Dennis, helping me out today. Flying solo. I'm a captain back in the cockpit after flying back and forth from the AOPA flying in Tampa. What a great time. I'll tell you what, if you have the opportunity to get out to one of those, you need to go participate because they have so many great seminars that you can learn some things, and just a cool little exhibit area in one of the hangars, and a lot of cool little tchotchke things they hand out too. One of the FBOs was giving out these awesome chocolate chip cookies. I mean, this thing was big as a dinner plate. God bless them. Oh, good stuff. You should have come.
No, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well,
I should have. Yeah, I really honestly did want to make it down there, but I just had too many commitments with work after you and I had just come back from a week vacation down in the Turks and Caicos. It was just playing catch up, and it was too soon to try to make it down there again.
Well, understood. You can plan for their tour next year, and we'll
coordinate. I'm definitely making plans. I think it's Carbondale, Illinois is the closest event to me next year, so I'm definitely going to make plans for that one.
Got it. Yeah, you know, right after the fly-in, I had a big an event in Orlando I had to attend for the dive industry, and that went very well. And then I jetted off to New York City. And is that on your list to take your Mooney up there to fly into you know, around the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff? Because that'd be an awesome flight.
It is, actually. My son and I were looking at flight planning for that, because he's got a classmate from school that is going to college at NYU, and asked him to come out and visit. So he was actually already starting to take a look at, you know, how, what the route of flight would be to get to New York. And one of the big obstacles for us is the Great Lakes. We actually would have to either cross Lake Michigan, or you'd have to fly down around Chicago. So he started looking at other options and was actually possibly looking at flight planning going over the Great Lakes, up over the north side, like through Sault Ste. Marie and across Canada. And the more he was digging into it, he says, actually, this would probably be the best way to come in. It may be slightly longer, but because you're coming in from the north, there's a lot less air traffic coming into the New York City area from the north side. So the routing would be easier to get in and out of some of the airports instead of all of the congestion from everything coming from Philly, Boston, or, you know, Philly, D.C., you know, kind of through that area.
Right.
So we've actually seriously, you know, crunched the numbers on it, and you know, it's really about 5 to 6 hour flight. It would not be that terrible.
Well, I was going to say, it's probably very picturesque, and, you know, you want to be flying over water anyway eventually when you fly down in the Caribbean. So this isn't like a big scary thing for you, is it?
No, but the water over the Caribbean is a lot warmer.
Well, that is true.
If something were to go wrong in Lake Superior, you've got minutes to get picked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got a raft. You got to, but right. It would be good planning, is my point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you're planning to fly your plane over the ocean, hey, this would be good warm ups. Even though the water might be quite chilly, yes. But you know, hopefully, if anything went wrong, you'd make it to one shore or the other.
Well, you know, that's what you like flight the ocean plan for. Yeah. You know? How high do you need to be, and what's the glide, and, you know, where are your feet wet? You know, so at this window, you know, there's maybe 10 minutes that you couldn't get back to either shore. Those are all the things you take into consideration when you do plan an overwater flight.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I flew in to New York, I mean, every time I look out the window of these planes, I just think, gosh, this would be such a great flight to fly around the city, see the Statue of Liberty and the city, you know, landscape and all the cool stuff that you could do. I mean, of course, they have certain paths you got to follow. I think we've talked about this before, where you got to go down the Hudson River or something on approach.
There's a VFR corridor that runs right down there. That,
yeah, but it looks like it would be awesome. Yeah, exactly. Oh,
absolutely. Every pilot should, you know, put that on their list of things to do, because you see it in the movies, you see it on TV, and to actually be there has got to be just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the weather was really nice for the most part, except for one day we had some rain. But other than that, it was we had some really bright, sunny days that would have been perfect for flying. A little nip in the air, a little on the chilly side, but hey, it'd been okay. But we'll save that for another day. So as far as what's been going on in your neck of the woods, I know you got a couple little nuggets you wanted to share with everybody today. What's on your radar there, buddy?
Well, we're got a lot of planning going on here in Minnesota. As you know, the Super Bowl is going to be hosted in Minneapolis this fall or this winter.
Right.
And they're already making plans at the local airports to be able to handle an influx of almost 1,500 business aircraft that are expected to arrive in, you know, basically in Minnesota. They're not just talking in Minneapolis. They've got, you know, flights that are looking to coming into some of the outlying cities as far as north as Duluth, Minnesota, which is 3 hours north of Minneapolis, Rochester, St. Cloud. All of them are, you know, being able to ramp up so they can handle the additional traffic. We were told during a pilot meeting last week that they will be instituting an IFR arrival program that's going to limit the flights to, like, you know, 22 flights an hour. And the actual airport operators, the FBOs, will be the ones controlling those slots, because they're expecting so much traffic coming in. They actually are going to have to shut down two runways at our airport in order to park the extra airplanes.
Hmm.
Isn't that just crazy to think that many business jets coming in?
That's kind of nutty. And now it ain't going to affect you because you already got your snowed in. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I'm still flying, but if I do want to go fly VFR, I shouldn't have any restrictions, although it might, you know, with all of the IFR arrivals, I might have to, you know, make a couple turns and, you know, wait to get in. But one of the biggest challenges for us is they're going to be shutting down several of the taxiways as well. And so instead of being able to just pull out of my hangar and make a left and head to the nearest runway, we're actually going to have to, you know, go all the way around the airport over to the other side because they're only going to have one runway in operation and they want all of the ground traffic going counterclockwise so that they don't have any, you know, contention with, you know, opposite direction traffic and airplanes crossing. They're just, you know, trying to plan ahead for that ground congestion. And it just, to me, it just blows my mind that we're going to have that many, you know, foreign aircraft coming in, you know.
Yeah, well,
not local.
I can understand the business jets, but in a Mooney, I mean, are you really going to want to fly at the end of January in Minnesota?
Well, that's what my wife said, too. She's like, really, you're not going to be that guy and get out there. It's like, actually, I kind of want to. I mean,
are you going to fly a banner like, I stand for the national anthem, you know?
Well, I don't think I could pull a banner that well with the Mooney, but, you know, it still would be really kind of cool to go fly around and, you know, even get some pictures out of the airplane of all of that. All those jets parked on the ramp and, you know, it just seems just weird, you know, that just think that there's going to be that big of a transformation just in a couple of months.
Right. Well, it'd be a spectacle to see. You know, it'd be like lining up at the, you know, boat ramp on a busy Memorial Day weekend.
Sure. And we had a taste of this last year. We had the Ryder Cup here. And so we had quite a few airplanes parked on the runway for that as well.
Well, we'll see how that goes and you can report back accordingly. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me along with Captain Dennis today. He's helping me out. He's in Minnesota, hunkered down. I mean, do you already have like ice and you're living in an igloo already up there. Am I right?
No, we actually don't have any snow on the ground down here in Minneapolis.
But it's cold enough.
It is cold enough. I've had to actually plug the airplane in, so it's getting cold.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I know there's another little thing you wanted to tell me about when it goes to flying, like why I need to get my license sooner as opposed to later. And what is
this one fits to both of our side hobbies as well, the scuba diving side of things. So one of the favorite things that we both like to see underwater is turtles.
Right.
I just saw an article today talking about a turtle rescue organization, and I never realized that this was a problem, but this sounds a lot like what would happen to Greg if he wound up diving up in Cape Cod. Apparently, this time of year, as the currents start to shift and the water starts to cool, some of the turtles kind of get stuck up in that colder water, and they get stunned, is how they describe it, and so they're washing up on the beaches of Cape Cod, and so apparently there's a turtle rescue organization up there called Turtles Fly 2. And they'd help ferry these stranded sea turtles and get them to marine hospitals. And they've found that flying them in general aviation airplanes is faster and a lot less stress on them than trying to transport them via ground to get them to care facilities where they can rehabilitate them and get them returned to the ocean.
Wow. Okay, so they're getting froze out, so to speak, and they get rescued or they beach themselves. They put them in a Tupperware container, and then they got to be taken to a rehab place down in Florida or something? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, somewhere along the East Coast there and where the water's warmer. They get them to some of the turtle hospitals and nurse them back to health and get them released back into the wild.
So I need to get my license and open Greg's Turtle Taxi.
Yes.
You know what? I kind of like that. I mean, turtles are fun.
It's a little way to give back, you know? And I appreciate seeing those creatures in the wild, and if we can help, you know, make sure that they can survive. Hey, what a way to give back.
That's right. I like it. And if you, just Google it. You can find out how you
can help. Turtles Fly 2, T-O-O.
Okay, there you go. Now we know. And we got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, hold that door! Hold that door! What? Hold the door!
Oh,
what?
I'm so sorry.
That's my flight to Los Angeles.
I'm on that flight. You just missed it.
Look, I made the plane. I'm here.
You were so close, but
what?
Unfortunately, the door is locked and closed.
You're not letting me on the plane?
I know it's frustrating, but once the door closes, that's it. Federal regulations.
Please, let me in here. It's so ridiculous. There's the plane right there.
But really, it's as if the plane's not there.
What? Are you a magician?
No, but the door is locked.
I see the plane. If you're doing a trick. It's not a good trick.
It's such a shame. They gon' miss this plane. 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 I try to believe you. I don't wanna leave, but I need to.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are also joined with Tom Haynes right now from AOPA. Tom, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Greg and Dennis. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're swell. I'm still flying high after, flying back and forth from the Tampa fly-in. We made it back. I told you, it was kind of a 50-50 shot, but here we are, and we did make it and had a great time.
So the night flight and everything went okay?
It did. I was a little apprehensive getting in the plane again when Ed said, hey, you're going to fly again. I'm like, what? It's a nighttime now. Now I'm flying a new kind of plane, and it's a night flight too to boot. You're still going to let me do this? He goes, heck yeah, it doesn't fly any different at dark. Or maybe you said that. I don't know.
The airplane doesn't care.
The airplane does not know that it's dark or care.
Well, that is true, and it seemed to cooperate fine. So, yeah, we got back, had a nice little flight over, we got shot straight over Disney World. So I got I got some pictures. I had Ed take the flight controls, and I got some pictures as we tilted the wing back and got some nice shots at night of the Magic Kingdom and Epcot and all that kind of stuff. So it was cool. It was awesome flight.
Flying at night is a really fun experience. The great thing about flying, say, up here in the Northeast, if you I've done this before, take off from the Boston area and fly down the coast all the way to around D.C. where we are. At night on a beautiful clear night, and you can do the whole thing at I think New York class Bravo tops out about 7,000. So
yeah,
at 8,500, you can fly the whole way down the coast. It's like a string of pearls. The major cities all lit up, and you can see one to the next to the next to the next as you're coming down the coast. It's a great experience.
Well, I bet. We were talking about that earlier about just being able to fly around New York City. I just got back from doing that as well. In a commercial airliner, but it's on my list as well as Dennis's list to fly, a small plane through the city. But maybe just going up the coast like that and doing something like that would be, that'd be the best of both worlds. You start there and end in New York and fly around and do a little thing. I didn't even think about doing it at night. Wow, that would be even something cooler, wouldn't you think, Dennis?
Oh, just the view would be impressive.
Yeah. So you've done that. You obviously flown up and down the coast like that, but have you flown around the city at night and stuff and done that little flight like that too?
I have. I've not done the Hudson Corridor at night. That would be an interesting experience, certainly doable. But definitely everybody should to do the Hudson Corridor once, probably during the day, the first time to get to see it during the day and from a safety standpoint. But it's an incredible experience, a wonderful use of a general aviation airplane, because you get a perspective that, unless you hire a helicopter, you're not going to get in any other way when you're flying, literally below the tops of some of the tallest buildings as you fly up the Hudson Corridor.
Yeah, that would just be so cool. And it's definitely on the list. So, I'll have to add the night element to it as well. There's always new things being added to the list. I guess I got
to
get this flight certificate
thing.
Welcome
to aviation.
Yeah.
Never-ending bucket list.
It is. It's every time you turn around, there's some cool new thing you can do or place you can go with an airplane that either isn't possible any other way or isn't practical any other way. And it just general aviation really opens the door to a lot of adventures and fun experiences that most people will never get to experience.
Which takes us to the Tampa fly-in. You know, that was just a blast. You know, we didn't even fly into the home airport. We flew into, one a little further, I guess it was
Tampa Exec, I think.
Yeah. We flew into Tampa Exec because we couldn't fly out after a certain time. We wanted to stay there for the Barnstormer party for a little while.
Right.
And ended up, we had to leave early anyway because they had a little incident. They had to go track down a plane up north. So we had to leave earlier anyway, but regardless, we got to hang out for the party for a little bit, so it was fun. But yeah, that's a perfect example of just something cool to do, flying into a place maybe you haven't been before, hang out with a bunch of aviators. I mean, we were just there on Friday. I assume Saturday was even more highly attended. Am I correct
there,
or what?
It went very well. We had good traffic on Saturday. I think total for the weekend was about 6,400 people, and it was
nice.
400 north of 400 airplanes for the weekend. So, yeah, it was a good experience, well attended. I think everybody had a good time. The weather on Saturday was really nice, even though the forecast had been on and off for some rain. But it started sprinkling at about 4 o'clock. Show ended at 3:00. By about 4 o'clock, it was starting to sprinkle a little bit, but the visibility was good, so it was no big deal.
Yeah. And what was the highlight as far as people flying in? Did you see anybody flying with something in particular that caught your eye? They're like, wow, I hadn't seen one of those in a while kind of thing. Because you never know what might show up, right?
Correct. Sometimes we do know what's showing up, but sometimes we get surprised too. Now, we had a lot of, great airplanes coming in. To be honest, nothing jumps out at me at the moment. At that particular air show, we had some really amazing stuff come into some of the other air shows. An Albatross, for example, up at Groton was a really fun airplane to hang out in. But
Albatross, that's one of those big water planes, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you know that was coming, or did they surprise you?
No, we knew that one was coming.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we parked it next to a DC-3, actually, and that was our backdrop for the Barnstormers party.
Ah, nice.
At Groton. So we had really, really wonderful airplanes up there.
Yeah. You know, and just the camaraderie amongst everybody. Everybody was so gracious and fun hanging out in the hangar with all the exhibits. I was just saying, you go to one of these things and come loaded out, loaded up with just all kinds of tchotchkes. And they were giving out, like, free cookies at one of the FBOs. I was like, my God, this is awesome. Yeah, but I'm easily amused that way.
They might like it if you actually spent money on something.
Well, true. I just pointed them towards Keith. He said, oh, yeah, he has a credit card. He's ready for you. But no, they were very, very nice and accommodating. And it was just cool to kind of hang out and just talk shop a little bit. So, and that's really what it is, a big meeting place for the weekend, right?
It is. You know, pilots come from all over for different reasons. Some of them looking for a place to fly to and having a reason to go flying. Others for the safety seminars. Others because they're shopping for an airplane and they want to go to this static display and look at an airplane. Or they're shopping for a piece of equipment or gear they look at in the exhibit hall. But a lot of it is just, you know, pilots want to hang out with one another. And the sort of the community, the fellowship of aviation is a really, really powerful and one of the things that makes general aviation unique.
Absolutely. And Dennis, now I know you want to do one of these, but have they wrapped up for the year, or do we have one more? What's the deal, Tom?
Nope, that's it for 2017.
It. Okay.
But the schedule for 2018 is out there, and four really fun places to go next year.
All right, where
I'm
you want to go, Dennis?
Seeing a Carbondale.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Okay, why that one, Dennis? Just because
it's the closest to Minnesota.
Okay, I was going to say, you ought to make it more challenging. Go somewhere.
Well, I may. We'll just have to see how the calendar looks. I think one of them going to be like in Boise, Idaho or something out west?
Yeah, Missoula,
Montana. That was it.
Yep, we're there in middle of June, and then in the middle of September, we are in Santa Fe. Then early October, I think it is Carbondale, and then the end of October is Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Now, see, that's the one I think we will have to try to attend next year because I want to go there and fly and see if we see any UFOs. You know that's a UFO hotspot. You know that,
no,
right?
No, I didn't know
Gulf
that.
Gulf Shores, Alabama is like...
Holy cow, really?
It's like the, it's like every year they have like the homecoming for aliens there. You know, yeah, it's an alien site hotspot.
And if you don't find one showing up, just bring your drone with. I bet somebody will think it is.
So true.
flashing lights in the sky.
That's how they communicate with them, I think. And like, yeah, it's here, right here, guys. Come on. Pull in this flying saucer. Yeah, you know what you ought to do for that flying is just, set up a flying saucer mock-up or something just to screw with people a little bit.
But put it on static display.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I'm saying. You know, and we welcome everyone.
all forms of aviation.
That's right. Yeah. But yeah, it is. It's an alien hotspot. You don't hear about it in the news as much as you used to, but yeah. 10, 20 years ago, that every week we were getting reports down here in Florida like, oh, yeah, the aliens were here this weekend. You should have been here. And now they literally have yearly festivals there. I've seen this. Yeah, you wonder how I'm so connected with the alien world. Have you listened to the show?
No, but I've seen your tinfoil hat. So
okay.
I guess,
All right. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? Or, yeah, gives me at least a slight excuse for some of the ridiculousness we do here on Just Plain Radio. But look, we got way more to go. Can you hang with us for another segment there, Tom?
Sure thing.
All right.
Happy to.
We got him from AOPA, Tom Haynes, and we'll be back here in just a bit on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know.
Like listening to Just Plain Radio, right? Come on. Well, you're in the right place. I am Greg, your co-pilot. I got Captain Dennison from AOPA, also Tom Haynes, helping us out today, fresh from the Tampa fly-in, which we did the show from the event last weekend, if you caught it. If not, you can go listen at justplainradio.com, download it on iTunes, and catch up with the rest of the class. So, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, how things were going with privatization, basic med. Anything happened since last week? I mean, all this stuff is kind of hot and heavy in the news there, Tom. What do you think?
Well, it is. You know, and Congress is still in session, so they're, you know, always up for making trouble. But looks like the privatization bill is still kind of stuck in its own orbit, which is not a bad thing. We'd like it to go away, but if it isn't going to go away, just let it circulate out there. You know, the Congress really focused on tax reform right now. There is some discussion kind of behind the scenes, I'm told, that there may be an infrastructure bill following along shortly after tax reform hopefully gets through, and that the infrastructure bill may have some shades of privatization in it or not. Trump has lumped privatization into infrastructure, which really doesn't make sense because you know, privatization at this point, there are some technology investments and that sort of thing going on that are associated with modernization and next gen, but those are already programmed, so there wouldn't be new investment planned. And really, if the president wanted to focus on infrastructure from an aviation standpoint, it would be in building more runways, because that's really where the problem is with our air traffic system, which is a great system, but if there is a weakness, it is that there are only so many runways, and our ability to land airplanes is, of course, directly related to how much concrete we have available, and the airlines love to schedule way more flights than our current runway infrastructure can handle. Mm-hmm. So great infrastructure project would be more runways, but that's a tough one to sell to neighborhoods, I can tell you that.
Well, you know, some of that stuff's already going on. I mean, in Orlando, I flew up to New York, and at Orlando International, they got a whole new terminal there about ready to open, it looks like. And then in LaGuardia, it's like a construction nightmare. Oh, my God. So, but hopefully, you know, in a year or so, I guess how long it takes them. You know, they'll have a little bit better access and some more modern looking facilities.
But that's still not a new runway. So you're still limited to how many jets can set down at any one time.
Well, that's true. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're putting in extra one runways in Orlando or LaGuardia or not. I don't know. Maybe you know, Tom. Do you know?
I don't know about Orlando for sure. I don't think so. But I'm certain at LaGuardia there is no new runway being constructed. They may be doing some runway improvement work.
Right.
But definitely not any new runways, and that's the only way we're going to increase capacity at the airports in any meaningful way, is if we can add runways. And generally, that's really hard to sell to communities who believe that's just going to create more noise in their neighborhood, or it's going to take land away from residential or industrial or something like that and interfere with somebody's life.
Well, in LaGuardia, they don't have the land. So
correct.
They're going to have to build like skyscraper type runways to improve it up there, I think. Orlando, who knows? They may have some more. I don't know. But we'll have to look into that. So it sounds like that thing is kind of on cruise control. So that sounds good. I know another thing going on for you guys, because I was up there in New York. And, you know, not that far from you guys, as far as, you know, anything north mm-hmm. of like Georgia is considered the north to me, being we're based in Orlando. So, you know, I know the weather has taken a turn for the worse, because I was experiencing it for a couple days up there in New York. And that was enough for me. I got the hell out of Dodge, got back to my home state, and I'm back in the 80s. And you guys aren't necessarily at that temperature level right now. Am I right, Tom?
Nope. We got really cold conditions this weekend, particularly the first part of the weekend, and it just reminds me that if I'm going to go flying on Saturday, it's got to be after the airplane's been plugged in for a while or some kind of preheat, because I don't want to start the airplane, you know, below about 30 degrees, and it's supposed to be in the 20s. So, it feels more like February than November, I got to tell you.
Well, you know, I'd like to lend some support, but all I'm going to say is glad I'm not you. Dennis, are you any better off in Minnesota or not?
I'm as bad or worse. I've really? Had to have the preheater plugged in now for the last couple of weeks, and I got tired of driving to the airport to plug the cord in, so I finally put in a little smart plug. So now I can just turn on the heater with my iPhone. Just, Siri, turn on the TANUS.
Really? Well, that's convenient, I guess. Yeah.
Well, it was actually a cheap fix. You know, buying these little remote-controlled power switches are, you know, $20-$30. And if you've already got wireless at the airport, makes it pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, Tom, what is the deal with those things? How long do you got to put your plane on preheat before you're ready to go?
Well, a lot of variety of airplane engine heaters. I've got just an oil pan heater, electric oil pan heater, that I just got to plug on the front of the airplane, plug it into the wall. And if I do that and throw a blanket over the top, close the cowl flaps, put the cowl plugs in, overnight the engine will be warm to the touch the whole way through. But if you're in Alaska or someplace like that, you're going to need something more robust, or even up where Dennis is, and you may want a more complete engine solution where you can have, you know, cylinder heaters, battery heaters, and a lot more sophisticated systems to keep the airplane warm, including the instruments, mechanical gyros, that sort of thing. They don't like the cold much, so some people have heaters they put in the cabin to help keep the instruments warm, because you don't want to start them up when it's super cold. So it's winter flying is, you know, can in really cold conditions could be a big deal.
Yeah.
I talked to the folks at Tanis during Oshkosh, and they were selling a little cabin heater that's designed for their system. And they said the actual incentive for that was all of the glass panels nowadays. Yeah. They're finding that when the temperature gets cold, the LCDs don't turn on. So you go to start up your airplane, and you can't see if you have oil pressure or not.
And that's not good. I would suggest, you know, just flying down south to see us. Yeah, just leave your plane for me and the keys. I'll take care of it. Any takers?
I hear crickets.
Well, we could leave it there, but we know it's not going anywhere.
We'll just end it at that. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.